This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio.
Panama, in the news this week for the opening of its new expanded canal, is a GDP success story. It had twice the average economic growth over the last 15 years as other countries in the region. Thank the canal, thank its Singapore-style hub for financial services, and its Dubai-style duty-free zone. But it's still a country with grinding poverty. I traveled to Panama to report that canal story, but I was struck by the uncomfortable contrasts.
My neighborhood is a community of resistance here in the city. It's a community that has held on to its customs in spite of the government, past and present, that has tried to take away what little we have.
That's Jessica Solis, a resident of Boca La Caja, a former fishing village now embedded in Panama City. It's a cluster of low working-class houses fed by streets where the pavement is either non-existent or cratered and lined with garbage the city, for some reason, is not picking up. Solis is a social worker who also arranges for extra meals for local kids in the small open-air public space.
I wanted to do more than just give these children a plate of food. I wanted to give them another vision of what life can look like, a vision of progress.
Solis is also fighting to stay in Boca La Caja, where, as she sees it, real estate developers are dangling low offers for property here to get residents to sell and be gone. It's potentially prime real estate. Just across a wall is the ritziest shopping complex I've seen this side of Beverly Hills. Yet on this side of the wall, kids looking for something to do play stickball with the carcass of a crow.
Sometimes with these things, you try not to think about it, not because you don't want to think about the problem, but because economic inequality is a problem at the national level.
A World Bank assessment emphasized recent progress in narrowing the divide between rich and poor here. But a CIA analysis notes Panama has the second worst income distribution in Latin America. Quote, strong economic performance has not translated into broadly shared prosperity. A few blocks north of struggling Boca La Caja is the neighborhood of San Francisco, where we find this Panamanian.
Muy buenas tardes. Me llamo Hilary Hughes. Vivo en San Francisco, Panamá.
Hilary Hughes Winstead is raising two young kids. Her husband is an executive at an organic juice company. We're on a high floor of an apartment building with middle-class residents. She grew up in the old canal zone, formerly run by the Americans, and was in ninth grade when the U.S. turned the canal over to Panama in 1999.
You just need to drive around Panama to see so much money. I mean, it's just so much money. Like, today, behind my car, there was a Ferrari. I'm like, what? I mean, you know, like, just driving in Panama City. And you would think that the government would find ways to apply all that cash flow.
But it's the gap toward the lower income end that she finds much more disturbing.
First of all, our education is like horrible, and it needs to be shaken up. It needs to be shaken up, and it needs to be injected with lots of money.
Panamanian officials agree that Panama's income distribution is a blight. Here's Panama's Vice Minister of the Economy, Ivan Zarac.
For 2016, we're expected to be the fastest growing economy in Latin America. But once you actually go to one of those communities and you see what those communities are living, then it becomes shocking, you know, that there's, you know, so much prosperity in one part of the country, and then at the same time there's misery in other parts of the country.
Roberto Eisenman, founder of the Panamanian daily La Prensa, also finds the inequalities here disturbingly entrenched, but he's been doing some creative thinking.
I gave an idea the other day that sort of a crazy idea. The government of Panama is spending about $1.5 billion on education. And we're not getting a good education. The canal, after the expansion, should make a net profit of $1.5 billion. I would like to see 100% of the profits of the canal go into education.
Officials told us that the canal proceeds now get dumped into the pool that is the Panama Treasury, where elected officials decide how all the public money is spent. Eisenman's idea would only lift education standards, he says, if the schools getting the canal money also get reformed, something he's working on through a nonprofit.
If the canal is going to write a check, who is the canal going to write the check to? So that's the big question. Obviously, the way our organization for education is today, it's not working.
At this point, dedicating canal profits to schools is really a thought experiment and not a concrete policy proposal. But the idea does suggest a way that through education, the new expanded Panama Canal might someday end up lifting even more boats. In addition to our Panama Canal and peak trade coverage accumulating at Marketplace.org, tomorrow we'll look at why so many Panamanians wish we'd stop referring to the Panama Papers.